Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast.
I had what they thought was a mild stroke. I lost feeling less out of my body, and it just turned out to be a really bad stress-induced migraine. Inside of myself, there was a lot of doubt how to resolve that. It took a lot of discipline and vulnerability.
My guest today is Steve Vega from New Guild Design in Orange County, New York. His generosity was slowly killing his business as he was consistently losing money. Now, over the past 16 months, Steve has more than doubled his revenue, and more importantly, his business has become very profitable. Now, in this episode, we're going to unpack how Steve went from trying to help everyone to focusing on building his own business first, to trusting his team and building solid business systems and pricing his work to make a strong margin. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me, brother. Real honor to be here.
Really excited to chat today. You've got a cool story. And I thought to kick off, I was going through our notes of when you joined the coaching program, which I think is in about February 2025.
Yes, that's correct.
I'd love to hear in your own words, Steve, why was it important for you to make some changes and to get help when you did?
Yeah, that at that time, everything was just really coming to a moment of where everything was kind of collapsing and around me. It felt very heavy, but there was something really brewing, very beautiful. It felt like this pressure, and I knew that I could release it somehow. And all the intuition that I had about this business and about the uniqueness of the services that we were offering were going to be very valuable. But I just didn't know how to get there exactly. It was an instinct, but I could feel that I needed to have some guidance, some mentorship, and it feels really lonely. So, and I was trying to, as I'm feeling lonely in myself, I was trying to guide my team to a level of safety and where they felt they had a really strong community to rely on one another. And luckily, I was just scrolling Instagram and you guys came up. So yeah. And
I just, you got to be careful when you scroll Instagram these days. All sorts of things can happen. So you had some big dreams, vision, goals for the business, and things were, you know, you're doing some cool stuff, but there were some challenges as well, and you were kind of stuck. Can you talk to me about that, the impact of that stuck, how that was affecting you and impacting on you?
It became almost a physical stuck. It actually got there was such a level of stress and pressure on a day to day that it was actually physically taking a toll on me. I back in 2023, I had what they thought was a mild stroke, actually, and it turned out to I lost feeling less out of my body. I lost cognition in my speech, and it just turned out to be a really bad stress-induced migraine. And then it kind of furthered out and spiraled. Where I started getting the sensation of like having a lump in my throat, which ended up, I had a lot of medical exams, ear, nose, and throat, endoscopies, esophagrams, and it just turned out to be the sensation that was caused by stress. So I was literally on the inside, like everything's fine because I'm this, you know, had this disposition of like being jovial and being encouraging. But inside of myself, there was a lot of doubt. There's a lot of insecurity and imposter syndrome that was going on, and I didn't really know how to resolve that. And I needed to unveil some truths, and it took a lot of discipline and vulnerability to get there.
I think there's something that people underestimate is the physical reality of mental and emotional stress. It literally ties your body up in knots and manifests in all sorts of ways. And I'll put my hand up too. I've had, you know, over the years, some pretty challenging physical things, which really have been caused by stress, migraines, neck pain, you know, lack of focus, all those things. Irritability, man, that's a big one for me. And you know, just feeling really angry about things and kind of brewing on the inside when everyone thinks you're okay on the outside, but you're not. And I think this is a challenge a lot of business owners carry around, isn't it? You don't actually realize that they're struggling underneath, even though it looks good on the outside.
Yeah, because here you are presenting something that's supposed to be a good service for somebody, and nobody wants to work with a miserable contractor. You know, you hear the tales of like, oh, I worked with this guy, and he was, you know, he overcharged me, and he came whenever, and he smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. And, you know, you got to present yourself in this way, but inside, there's not a whole lot of places to put that energy sometimes, especially when you're on the tools, running projects, selling jobs, chasing after vendors. It just becomes like so overwhelming. and there's, you can really feel very isolated. And I mean, there is points where I push my body to such limits. I did like, I've done like 63 hour shifts, not just work weeks, just shifts to push through and hoping on the other side that there was a light, you know? And, but I just thought the more I work, the better it's going to get, you know, the harder I work, the stronger I'll be. And, that really wasn't proven, but, yeah,
that's a really fascinating comment, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people, contractors, tradespeople, plumbers, HVAC, all the, those similar businesses, there's a mindset of hard work is the answer. And if I grind it out, then I'll get to the promised land. Right. And let's not be silly or sugarcoat it. Hard work is important, but there comes a point at which it's not the answer at all, because most of us are hard workers. You know, people listening to this pod are business owners typically. So you're a hard worker by definition. You wouldn't be crazy enough to open your own business if you weren't. But it's about working smarter eventually, so you can do different things and get different results. And I think I think Einstein said it, doing the same thing, expecting a different result, is insanity. And I think that's where a lot of us business owners find ourselves, just grinding away. It's like, why won't this change? This has gone on for 6 months, sometimes 6 years. You know, we see businesses have been doing this for 20 years, which is tough, man.
Yeah. Eventually the bottom of the well can feel like home, you know, and I needed to get out of it now.
That's such an insightful comment, because you kind of get conditioned to just feeling basically like a piece of rubbish.
Yeah.
It's like on the inside, you're like, wow, this is kind of what life is. And you just carry on. I've had that experience as well. It's not fun, but you get conditioned to it. So there's definitely big emotional and mental challenges with this side of things. And I think it's good that we talk honestly about this as well, because so many people listening probably haven't been able to voice this. You have to be strong for everyone, your team, you know, your suppliers, your clients, your partner, family. You feel like everyone's relying on you, and to an extent they are. So it can be a lot.
They are. Place. And that's the thing that puts people into a position of owning a business, is that there's obviously some sense of leadership. So not only inside the business, but outside. And that can feel, you know, where does the attention go to, you know, and where you put your attention, that's where things are going to grow. So,
yeah,
it took a long time to get there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So just so the listeners know, Steve, can you tell us about your business when you joined the $1 Million Tradie Program, sort of work you're doing, the size of the team, revenue, your role, and the structure of the business?
Yeah, sure. So I joined a Profitable Tradie back in February 2025. At the time, I had three guys on the tools. I was also on the tools. I onboarded my sister, Jessica, who's my office admin, really more operations coordinator, not operations manager. She just kind of gets things in motion for everybody until we build things up, but we were faking it till we made it. And we were in business at that point about, I think we just came into our third year or something like that. And it felt like just all so much when I was on the tools and going to sales, and I couldn't be available for the team. It really wasn't well structured. We were averaging about 43,000 a month throughout the year, not knowing what our P&Ls read, looking at these negatives and not understanding where the holes were in the bucket. And we could just talk to our half-ass accountant, which is not our accountant now. Love you, Brett. You're accountants are a touchy subject here in PT, but he's a good one. So we were at this point of just desperation where I needed to fix something. And I could smell that what we had was really good. I also had a draftsman that was like transitioning from being on the tools into a draftsman. So there was all these really good building blocks, but I really needed help. So,
yeah. Can you just talk through briefly what your role was at that stage, what you were doing and how your week looked?
I didn't even know where my feet were. I think one of my favorite things you've ever said actually is, be where your feet are, be where your boots are. But man, I was on the tools, getting all the materials set up for the day, running from job site to job site, promising clients that I would meet them for a site survey, and giving them, just a lot of, they were giving me a lot of grace and patience. But yeah, just kind of all over, really not focusing on marketing, not focusing as much as I should on the sales. I thought what a sales approach looked like was good enough. I thought that money that I had in the bank was good enough, but yeah, so the role was everything. I was doing it all. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does the business look now?
On the business side of things, we have, my draftsman has totally evolved into being a assistant production designer. So he's handling a lot of the design scope, which was something that I was doing too. The empowerment of that Proffel Trady has also given my office admin, my sister. She's really taken on a role of truly helping us get some pre-production stuff together, helping out with all things office, because I was also doing payroll at one point. I was trying to manage those finances. So now she's on that. And then now I have a team of 5 in the field, which will be 6 later this month. And then I have an operations manager that will be starting in about 2 months. He's going to be coming on as my ops manager. So, and my day-to-day is really focused on business development and systems, sales, marketing, and just overall like networking.
Fantastic. And how is the revenue and the profitability shifted?
Last year at this time, we were negative net $115,000. Now we've doubled where we are. And the projections now going forward, you know, compared to where we were making 43, and an average for what we're projecting and forecasting this year will be at about 80. So I think we're going to be hitting about $1 million in revenue, which is pretty
fantastic.
Unbelievable.
That's a cool, yeah, so cool, man. And excited for you. And I think there's a lot more to come after that as well with what you're building, which I think is the exciting thing.
This won't be the greatest thing I do. This won't be the greatest thing I do. I'm already like the next, like my goal is boardroom for sure. Like,
Well, we should definitely do that. What have the results meant from the business meant for you?
You know, as I mentioned, my health was, and stress level were at an all time low. I'm here. I'm happy. You know, like it's funny when I did my onboarding, you know, they ask, you know, Liam asked me, who was my, you know, my onboarding, and triage, for PT. He brought me in and he's like, well, what do you want in 18 months? And I'm like, well, I want 100K salary. And, you know, I want to be able to say we're 100 net profit. And, you know, and I'm thinking this is all a pipe dream, right? And here we are, you know, we're coming to that. But what I want for the next 18 months is to be 18 months more happy, consistently happy. Like I've never had that. And I'm so happy. Like I didn't think I could be in this position, but I'm a happy person. I love what I do. I love my business. Yeah, it's great.
I think what's so exciting is that you have always looked happy on the outside, but being happy on the inside is what counts as well. And that gives you the energy to be there for other people as well, which I know you know is important for you as a leader. So that's pretty transformational.
And here, jovial, right? You know, God has blessed me with this face and this awesome mustache.
He has. Hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah. Praise be. Yeah. But like on the inside, I can really beat myself up. And it was one of the PT coaches, Finn, who came to me at one of the latest boot camps. And he was like, you're such an amazing person and you know how to lift people up, except yourself. And he really gave me a lot of permission to lean into myself and really find some self-value. I think that's one of the biggest things I've ever gotten from this. Forget money, all that, and even happiness, self-worth. That's been one of the bigger game changes for me.
It's so interesting you say that, because I think as business owners, we often underestimate, you know, how much value we bring to the situation. You know, like what we do is kind of easy for us, the actual work we do in the field, and sometimes we don't see the value in it. And often, you know, we're in business to try and prove ourselves to ourselves or our dads or whoever it is. So I think this self-value thing is massively important. And if you do build that up, you know, I've coached thousands and thousands of people. I can see that as you build that self-worth and your internal confidence, your business goes so much better. But more importantly, your experience of life and the relationships you have is so much better as well. So it's a very interesting point.
You're an extension the business is you. That's what makes it unique, you know, is that, and that's what I try to encourage everybody else who's like joining the program or any of my PT brothers and sisters or anybody else that I'm kind of like just my subcontractors and my team, you know, is that what sells you is it, the business is you, you know, that's the unique thing. And, taking the hold of, yeah, I am unique. I am something that is, that matters, and I am of worth and service. And, that was also part of my detriments with pricing, is I just didn't really feel confident. I didn't really believe in myself.
Yeah. Let's dig into that, because you've made lots of changes, and I thought it would be great to focus on some that I think have made a huge difference, so we can share some of that wisdom and learning with the listeners. Let's talk about pricing. What was your approach and attitude to pricing previously?
I didn't really know what I needed to be making hourly, not having the understanding of what my earned value was and what that needed to be, what my labor utilization looked like, what my overhead recovery looked like. I had no idea. So I was just kind of thinking, well, it's going to take me this much time, and I guess I should add in this much markup, you know, and not thinking about margin. I never thought about margin, only thought about markup. Didn't think about gross profit dollars, and knew nothing about back costing. So, you know, and then I just kind of say, well, I guess this is a good price, and then we'll see what comes out on the end and hope we make enough money and hope we make payroll. So that was kind of my, and it was always a level of transparency, and that's what's been carrying me through, I think, with my clients, and my team. But, I really had no idea. And everybody's like, just kind of shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah. When you talk about transparency, Steve, can you unpack that for me?
I'm not afraid to show my numbers. I'm not afraid to show people what things cost. Because frankly, you should know, it's fine. In my world, I'm doing remodels and home renovations. Some people are spending their whole life savings on it. And you should know what the guys cost. You should know what my material markups are. That way there's no surprises, because when you try to be the nice guy and you're trying to save everybody from, you know, hiding them from the things, you're covering certain aspects of what it takes to run this job, you're not doing many favors. You need to be honest with them. And I think that's been the most successful part of my sales approach, is being transparent.
So when we looked back, we could see that there was, you know, some chronic underpricing to your detriment. Why do you think you were undercharging?
I think I couldn't fathom that somebody would pay $35,000 for a bathroom. I couldn't fathom that, you know. But the truth is that that's what it cost, and that's what it costs to run a business. And also, like, we'd get to the end of this job and we would feel like, well, you know, maybe we could help them out. They've been so wonderful. Well, I've been so wonderful too, you know, and it's should be a two-way street. And that's always been the intention. But somehow I would fail to, and just be like, oh no, it's okay. Don't worry about the last 10%. And that's my net profit. You know, just lost it. I just shot myself, you know. It just didn't, I just felt bad, I guess, you know, and there was no reason to feel bad. Money is a resource.
Yeah, no reason to feel bad, and yet you did. What do you think was it about the money equation and pricing that made you feel bad?
On a deep dive level, you know, I didn't grow up with a ton of money. I grew up in a system where I thought money was evil. And you know, that it didn't matter. And what matters is my character and my quality. But, you know, I quickly needed to learn that if I'm going to, you know, have a better relationships in my life, I need to have a better relationship with money. And I realized that money was a resource, and that money was going to be the thing that was going to not only create affluency, but influence as well. And if you're going to be this nice guy, it's all nice to make people feel good, but it's better to make people feel safe. And everybody around me, like, it just feels like this really solid community. I feel like everybody feels safer with me now because I have an appreciation for money, because they know I do, and they want to see that level of monetary success is going to bring them a level of security that really wasn't, a little bit more uncertain before.
This stuff is pretty deep, and it is very much about our identity and our attitudes, and some of that does come from our upbringing and you know, formative experiences. So this is a big challenge for a lot of contractors and tradespeople and, you know, similar businesses. So I think it's important that we deal with it. I suppose what I'd love to know is, what was the real cost for you of pricing this way? What did it actually cost you?
In the business, going without, you know, we were going without tools, and I would sacrifice my dollars for tools. I would also give my money to make payroll, so my family would go without, so others could. There was just this pain point of, am I ever going to get out of this? Throwing myself into debt for uncertain terms. I had no idea where we were headed. It really created a level of blindness. That was the result, is like, I was just kind of aimlessly running a business and not knowing what it meant to actually be a business owner. So, cause now I'm just, you know, you're self-employed for a while, but now I want to be a business owner. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's a lot of sort of financial cost. And then there's a lot of emotional cost as well, isn't there? Which is the stress, the sleepless nights, the feeling of being a failure, the feeling not being able to provide, et cetera, when you don't have enough money. And it's a horrible feeling.
Yeah.
It really goes to your, it does actually kind of self-fulfill this feeling of lack of worth, because you price because you struggle with your value, and then it gets worse because you don't have any money. So you kind of feel more rubbish about yourself as well. So it can be quite a vicious cycle.
Completely. I just kept running around and trying to make everybody else happy except the people in my home, you know, and the people around me.
There's something that I've found helped me and has helped lots of people with this, is the concept of, you know, you have to fit your own oxygen mask first, and you have to have a profitable business before you can be any good to anybody else. And in fact, and the weird thing is, if you want to provide great value to your clients, which is one of the reasons we sometimes do undercharge or don't charge for everything that we should, because we feel like we need to make sure they have a great job. The best way to do that is to be profitable, because then you can build the right systems, you can hire the right people, you can hire the A players, you've got the right technology, because you can afford to invest in it, and your quality of service actually gets better. And my experience is that most businesses eventually that undercharge underdeliver as well, because, well, just logistically and resource-wise, there's no other way that it happens.
1,000%. Yeah. Once I started adjusting my numbers and actually increasing my prices and getting better clients in the door, things just immediately improved on a mental level. They are directly related. If they say money doesn't buy happiness, I used to believe that. It kind of does.
Look, there's no doubt that once you get to a certain point with money, and it really does change your experience of life. Beyond a certain point, it doesn't make that much difference when you've got everything covered and you're secure.
Yes,
that's sort of the point of security is really what counts. Mm-hmm. But it does make a huge difference.
Yeah,
there's no doubt. And some of my most stressful times in business is when I haven't had enough money. It's just horrendous, to be honest.
It's the worst feeling. I'm a totally different person, and which is something I never really expected for myself. But now that it's there, happy days.
It is. Hey, was there a particular moment, Steve, when you realized that the pricing model just wasn't sustainable?
When I kept having to go into lines of credit and getting, you know, fast money loans. That was the moment. The month before, in January 2025, I took out a $55,000 loan to sustain the business, to sustain payroll through the winter months in New York. And I looked at that and I said, this has got to get better. And I don't know, the internet gods blessed me and just was like, there was your face. And I was like, cool, this sounds good.
Yeah, I always listen to the bald guys.
So. I'm on my way.
That's right. Yeah. You're way more handsome than I am, brother.
No,
a lot younger as well, so it's all good.
You're beautiful, bro.
I appreciate it. Beautiful in spirit. Okay, let's talk about now. So how do you approach your pricing today?
Once we got a handle on our P&L, understanding our operating expenses, we were able to actually look at the holes and start patching them up. And the first thing we did this year, we're like, okay, it's fiscal year. This is our year. We know we have all the building blocks at this point. We're almost like, we're 11 months into PT and we're like, we got this, we're going to figure this out. And we were already like into implementing all the systems, undoing a lot of the bad habits, and getting the team on board, because also sharing what we were doing was also really important. And all those people, luckily, they really stayed. Being able to understand what our gross profit margins needed to be, learning about back costing. We don't do a job without back costing. We're constantly keeping a cash log. We're understanding our cash flows for the month. We're having that forecasting and that mindset on the pricing side was great. And ironically now, even though we've increased our prices and we have less clients, we're doing better in revenue, you know, because that was all of like the sales was also tied in with the aspects of what our services were marketed to and who they're going to now. So all intertwined, but yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about back costing? Because that mm-hmm. to me is a magic trick for profitability and pricing.
Yeah, absolutely. So since we're doing so many different things on a job, we're doing renovation, remodel, you know, we're doing everything from demo to finish. You know, we do also design to build. You know, we're trying to encapsulate all of each task and understand what those cost breakdowns are to see, well, is the installation giving us as much, you know, return versus, you know, doing the tile work? And what did those combination of rates look like? And it ensures that we're going to end up being profitable at the end of the job. It gives a level of comfortability. Now, when we dish out any estimate, I'm like, this is good to go. And now I don't balk at my own prices. Before I'd be like, okay, I guess I could change this later. It's like, nope, now we have a target. Having targets, that changed everything. So the back costing on the margin side and having those targets, it was the key to the castle, really.
I think you're right. Having a pricing target, because then you can't negotiate with yourself. We negotiate yourself down before you have to negotiate with the client. That's not a good way to run a business.
No.
And two, the back costing, and then that's the check of how did we go. And it's a lovely kind of feedback loop, because you have your target, and then you back cost the job, and you're like, okay, how did we go relative to our target? And you find out, hey, maybe there's a particular area, maybe in the demo I underestimated this, or getting rid of the trash or whatever when you're finished, whatever it is, or the tiling.
You got to do it in the front and back end. You know, if you're doing it on the front and back end, and we're capturing all our metrics too, because not only are we doing, because we're doing kitchen, baths, decks, you know, kind of across the board. Now that also, once we collect all that data from the front and back end of all the back costing, then we're understanding what our low hanging fruit is. You know, what should we be marketing to? What jobs are going to be most profitable? If we're going to end up, being generous to, you know, because I want to be generous. I would love I have a goal to at least do a project, pro bono per year. But now it gives me that affordability to do that. I can understand what that is ultimately going to cost me at the back end.
Yeah. And I think the lesson that underpins a lot of this is, if people are struggling, you're listening to feel confident about your prices. When you back cost your work, then you understand how much it costs to do this stuff. And then it's much easier not to give yourself a pay cut.
Correct.
This is the thing. So knowledge is power. And when you really back cost, you cost the jobs, you understand how it works, you're like way, way stronger at saying, no, this is the price. You know, this is what I need to charge to actually survive and make a profit, rather than, okay, whatever.
And it gives you the confidence to say no, you know, as well. If they're just not understanding, and I'm being level of transparency where we're going over the numbers in detail, and they're just it's expensive. Expensive is subjective, for one.
Compared to what?
Mm-hmm. That was something I had to learn, like really untrain myself, is like, well, that's expensive compared, and like that's been drilled into me. And if they say no, I do everything that I can to ask them, well, if we have this good working relationship, what can I do to help it, keep this good feeling going? But if they're just like, no, it's just too expensive, that's okay. I know what it needs. I'm not going to do 8 million. I'm not going to do like 8 billion bathrooms. They're clients for us now. So it gave me a level of confidence of what I need to what jobs I need to take on to operate my business.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great because you get better clients, I think, as well. You know, the really cheap work can be really cheap clients, and actually quite cheap people who are difficult to work with. And the ones who value your your price and are okay with that, often are just a better class of client.
You know what's funny is that now I have the best clients. And I'm not just saying that because some of these are going to listen. I mean it, like, I love my clients. And I think that's because there's just this general understanding, you know, it's, there's a level of communication that's real and it's collaborative.
Yeah. And I think something important, you know, when we're on these podcasts is you have changed your pricing and you've improved your margins and made your business more profitable, but you haven't done that at the extent of rorting your clients or taking advantage of anyone. This is just fair pricing to make a fair profit so you can provide a good service. And this is very important because sometimes people, you know, come with the mindset of, well, if I'm making more money, then someone's losing somehow, but they're not. This is like, you have to have a profitable business. You have to make a solid margin. You have to cover the risk of being in business and carrying all that stress so that you can provide for your team, for yourself, for your family, and you can provide for the clients a great service. That's Amen. What it's about.
Amen.
Yeah. All righty, man. We hung out recently in Nashville at a member event, which was great fun. And I was really impressed with the team that you're building. So what have you done to build a really good company culture?
So I do every week. We have a weekly production meeting just for everybody to kind of gather around, even if it's on a video chat, just kind of, you know, check in. It's the first thing we do on Monday. How was your weekend? We get to talk a little bit just as a team. And then throughout the week, I talk to the team. You know, I'm in my 20s. I take time to know how they're feeling on the job, what's going on in their life. And then it's also an opportunity to just check in a little bit about goals, because we also do on a cultural side of things, we also have our team alignment, right? So, you know, when everybody is sitting around the table, we try to align together and make each other accountable for our short-term and long-term goals as well. So that way we're generating a synergy of, like, are we looking out for one another truly? And then also on a cultural side of things, it was really fun last weekend. I took some of my guys to like a metal concert, which is really cool. You know, and I'm there for them. You know, they know I'm going to be there for them. And because I genuinely care, I'm taking the time to make sure that we have that moment of connection. And something also to kind of lift them up, these evaluations, apart from the, you know, the team alignments, we're doing self-evaluations. We're implemented a system where they're evaluating themselves on systems, on teamwork, on communication, on knowledge. And it's given them a point of reference to where they feel that they need to improve once we have a conversation about it. They can look outside of themselves and see where they want to grow and see how they want to improve. So,
yeah, I love the work you're doing there because a lot of people care about their team.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't, and we won't talk about them, but, you know, most people do. But what you've done is actually put some actual structures in place, like the 20s is a 20-minute coaching session once a week with each team member to talk about, you know, their wins and where they're going and challenges they might have and look at their KPIs. The evaluations is a system that you put in place. So it's not left to chance. It's not kind of just when you get a bit of time, which when you get busy never happens. And so it's that structure that really builds up the culture. So I think that is that's an amazing thing to do. And the team, they really appreciate that and respect that. And they know because you're actually spending time with them. And it's like family or kids. Love is about T-I-M-E. And so actually investing some time and giving them, sounds a bit weird, but giving them a bit of daddy love, I call it. Like they feel like they're important to you and actually blocking that time in makes a huge difference. So
they are. I love my team. My team is... I'm so lucky. And I think, you know, we had good culture because I have this jovial spirit, right? You know, I'm always like cheerleading and inside I'm kind of like messed up, you know, and or was, you know, and I can definitely say was. This dynamic now where there's this true culture, you know, like I can only build a company with the resources that I have, right? And they're an extension of me. They have to be there with the client all the time in their homes for sometimes months at a time, you know? So, and this, the God's honest truth, I say, listen to my clients. I'm like, you love me right now. Wait till you meet my team. Then you'll be really impressed. And across the board, it's a standard for us. One of my guys is a master carpenter. He's third generation master carpenter. And, you know, he's been on the tools for 40 years and he got taken advantage of a lot, in different companies. And today, just today, he was like, you know, here, good. It's good. I love it. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's massive. And I think something that we've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed as well, is you've always been very kind and respectful to your team. But now that you and your business are winning, that really changes the culture as well, because people love to win. You think of any sports team when they're winning, it's amazing. There's very few sports teams that are happy when they're losing.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that winning part and keeping the score really, you know, that builds the culture as well.
One of my favorite things that I've learned, it was actually from Cam, and it was celebrate the wins, you know, with each other. Celebrate them. You know, I'll post them on Instagram or something like that. Like, look at this apprentice. Look how he's just flying. You know, I had one of my guys, he's 6 months in, he's standing on, you know, drive on spackle stilts, you know, and just celebrating him. You know what I mean? Like, and just being able to offer even like in slight moments, you know, like one of my team used to be in the union and they were like, I never thought I'd get a bonus, you know, like, yeah, you know, celebrating them in multiple ways. So I'm looking forward to more of that though, in different ways. Yeah.
So we've touched on the stress of running a business, Steve, and the fact that it's been very stressful for you at times. What's made the biggest difference to actually helping you get on top of your stress levels and manage those?
My default calendar. The first thing where the first time I felt real relief in PT, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting around my head around these numbers, but like, what am I gonna do about me? What am I gonna do about my time? Doing the time production analysis, and then in result, making my default calendar, just taking my spinning head, which we all have as business owners, is like, you know, your attention can go to the shiny object consistently and you can focus on the small stuff and not like your big rocks, right? You can focus on the sand. So being able to set time apart for myself and sharing that with my team and knowing I have levels of responsibility that I have to tend to, and to, knowing, like acknowledging to myself, these are the things that are going to be the most generative in revenue to the business. You doing the $20 task is not sufficient. So that's when I started to really feel the relief of this chaos, was getting a handle on my schedule.
Can you talk a little bit more about what the time productivity analysis is?
Yeah, sure. So over the course of 2 weeks, because maybe I'm a little OCD, but you know, over the course of 2 weeks, I'm a good company, right? Is that I broke down every hour, every waking hour of what I was doing throughout those 2 weeks, whether it's personal, whether it was me going to drive to a job site, picking up material. And then I decided, then I went through the do, delegate, or delete process, you know? So I decided, well, should I be doing this? Then who is going to be taking on that role? And how much value is it actually bringing to the company? Because now I know the value of the company is really beholden within me, which is not ideal for a business owner. The system is what my job is now, right? Which is such an eye opener. The company is only as valuable as its system. And but being able to have that breakdown and then just delegating and deleting things and asking for help, it made me realize how much help I needed. So then I was able to grab back, you know, once I had a viewpoint of time, I said, well, where can I save 10 hours in my week? Because I'm doing 80 hours right now. We're all doing 80 hours, most of these guys, right? You know, you're just constantly working. You're standing, you know, with your family at the park or whatever, and you're having a conversation on the beach and you're trying to relax, and it's just a nightmare. So yeah, being able to break down where I was in the day gave me so much perspective of what I actually needed to do to run a healthy business.
Yeah, and it's amazing, isn't it? Because we know that measurement's important for money, but it's so important for time. If you don't track where you're spending it, it just it slips through your fingers and you don't realize.
So
that you know, being real with your time is very confronting, and then it allows you to put it into a calendar where you structure the time to suit you. And as you said, you're spending time on the $250 to $500 an hour tasks that are actually going to grow your business. And that might be business development or building systems or templates or, you know, building a hiring process, all of that stuff, which is not just getting the job done, but it's doing the job of growing your business,
yeah,
which is what makes the difference.
And as I've grown, now it's time to – I've already just redone I just redid my time production analysis last week, and my office admin sister put it into AI, generated a calendar for me. And I was not pro AI. If you're not on AI, listen, just suck it up, buttercup, do it. It really does change a lot. If you're not using it to figure out how to make a nuclear bomb, you know, you're defusing it and you're actually making people's lives better subsequently. I'm so excited about where that goes. I really want to tap into that too, where we're headed with all that. But yeah.
It's huge, man. It's huge. Hey, we've talked a lot about the top 2 inches here, what's going on in your mind, and you've made, you know, several mindset shifts. I'd love to do a deep dive here. What are the key mindset changes that you've had to make to get the shifts that you've had?
That money is a resource, that no is okay, and that I'm worth it. I'm valued. Those are the things that I wake up with. But even on a bigger sense of like, if I'm going to be a business owner, forgive me, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but when we were in California at the boot camp, he was talking about the five tenets of being like a really good CEO, and, you know, having gratitude, accountability, and then there was a level of humility. And I think it was compassion was the other one. But then there's also being a good steward. Those are the principles that I really had to digest in myself, because I already felt them in myself, but it was, what a powerful thing to hear from somebody with such great experience. So those principles live within me.
Yeah. And I think the journey for people growing businesses, that there's a bunch of tasks and tools and strategies to put in place. The real unlock comes when you change the way you look at your business and the way you look at yourself, because that allows you to really do some different things. And I think one of the things that excites me about what you've done, that's really happened. And you're starting to see the results of that now, but that will flow through for years to come.
It's energy. And now it's contagious. You know, everybody else feels that. And because I'm having the 20s with the team and encouraging them about this position of mind, that they too can experience that, and other subcontractors, you know, trying to, and just general people, everybody sees like this attitude. I just got a wonderful text from another PT member the other day, and he was just like, dude, your energy is just, it's impactful. But that came from great pain. The demons that I had to deal with were my greatest teachers. And now I get to live in this point of being grateful for them. They taught me everything about what it was to feel in a level of joy and to really be a good steward of this craft, of not to be whatever all Gandhi, but like, you know, of humanity, right? Yeah, you know.
I think this is actually a very important point. Why I'm so passionate about working with business owners and entrepreneurs is because the ripple effect is enormous. You're actually in a position of great responsibility and influence. You know, not only your team, but it's their families, the clients you help, the suppliers and the other contractors that you work with. You can ripple everywhere, and your influence is felt a long way, both ways, you know, in a positive way, and also if you're really battling with things as well. So
yeah,
that's a privilege and a responsibility, which I certainly take very seriously, and one of the reasons we do this podcast.
Yeah.
You know.
And every coach, I think, has that too in PT. Yeah, they exemplify that for sure.
Yeah, so I think that's very powerful. And just on that, Steve, how helpful has been getting some outside help been for you with your business growth?
Being able to have, you know, as I just said, like the coaches are amazing. Every single one of them. But shout out to my coach, Michael Clifford. He's the best. That's my brother. I love
He's
that
man. He's the
goat. Yeah, he really is, man. But there, and you could say that about just about everybody, you know, from the very beginning, I would rattle off and you all know who you are. And I'm so grateful for every interaction and for your hiring process, Tony, because you hire with real quality, man. And so having the every day, having the option to get the term unstuck in your business, because there are moments, like you said, at the boardroom member, sometimes they can just forget where your fundamentals are. And sometimes you could feel so confident, then all of a sudden you get really frazzled. So being able to jump into a Q&A or an implementation session has been such a relief when I'm feeling that pressure, because now I know how to regulate myself better because I've gone through those trials and tribulations. I know, like, wait a second. Okay, what time is an implementation session going? I'm going to jump on right now. And I get fixed up right away. And the coaches are amazing, and everybody, you know, and we give our gratitude, and they say it's us, and that's true. But really, it's the community. Being able to have that outreach, man, I've met some of the greatest people. And you just feel, no matter what, like, even with the guys who are making, you know, like 8 figures, you know, a year, compared to the guy who's just kind of getting things started, right? The problems are scalable. And even those guys, they'll just get down on your level and be like, yo, I've been there. I've absolutely been there. And knowing what really success looks like through the eyes of not only your coaches, you know, but your community, and how to get yourself back up. So yeah. That's been huge.
That's very important. And for people who are listening, one of the things about a coaching business is that we teach people stuff, strategies and stuff. There's coaches who will kick your ass and hold your hand and give you a hug when you need it. But when you've got 1,200 people actually in our members group, the camaraderie, the perspective, the lessons, there's always people further ahead than you and people who are, you know, not where you're at, who you can help. It's incredibly powerful, and it's quite humbling seeing that. It's one of the special joys we have as a business, is seeing that interaction, because that, I think that is actually the real juice here.
If anything failed in my business, if I'd had to belly up, I would become a PT coach. But I don't know how good of a coach I'd be because my business failed. But man, I'm drinking all the Kool-Aid, man. I love the team. I love the community and all the teachings and the consistency of it and the evolution. You know, that, like, having the next, there's always the next greatest thing, and it's such a wonderful example to witness. So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And it's, as I said, the ripple effect is very gratifying. The fact that we can help you and then you help your team and your community, that's a really humbling experience and one that we're very grateful as well. Well, Steve, been great chatting today, brother. Like, I'm very excited for what you've done and more excited for what you're going to do. I know you've got, you know, a really exciting future ahead and man, I just can't wait to see where you take this.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tony. I really wouldn't be here without you, brother. I know it's up to me to do the work, but having those foundations set in play, you've changed my life. You know, I was in a dark place, and I'm so excited for the future now. And I love what I do. And thank you for creating such an amazing community and system. I'm going to be using, I'll be with PT as long as I'm in this business. So that's a guarantee.
Appreciate that, man. It's fun hanging out.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate you.
Take care, man.
All right. You too.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.